All right, 202 on this Memorial Day Monday afternoon. Knicks, the big-time theme. We've chatted about it for the better part of the last 4 hours. After their Game 3 victory last night in Indianapolis over the Pacers, let's welcome aboard right now CP the Franchise, Knicks Fan TV, creator of, knows this team backwards and forwards. Hey, CP, thanks for the time this afternoon. Appreciate it, brother.
Mark, always a good time talking with you on the Fan, man. Hope you're doing well.
Doing well. Doing better after that comeback last night, CP. I got to be honest with you. Watching it with my boys when they were down 20 in the second quarter, I didn't necessarily think the theme of today's show would be what it was.
Yeah, likewise, man. You know, especially watching how these guys just almost seemed like they let go of the rope by halftime, and the Pacers were just clicking on all cylinders, just absolutely bullying the Knicks with, I mean, blitzing-style offense. I thought they had a lot of help from the Zebras as well. But you know what? It's just interesting, the emotions riding into this game, the nerves from Knicks fans worldwide, especially what happened in Games 1 and Game 2. It just speaks to the passion of this fan base. But what a gritty, gritty comeback win for them.
You know, CP, I want to ask you, because we've talked about it a lot, the defense and really the bench. Delon Wright, Landry Shamet, you think what they provided Thibodeau and the Knicks coming off the bench last night, do you think that's repeatable?
I think it is, Mark, and he has to go to those guys and off the bench. I mean, the key for this Knicks team, whether it's winning the series or even the championship, is going to be through their defense. And the reality is that their big two, led by Jalen Brunson and Karl-Anthony Towns, are their biggest weaknesses on the defensive end, which teams are always going to target. And so Tom Thibodeau's challenge right now is finding the most optimal offense-to-defense combinations that can keep this Knicks team not only in these games, but allow them to win. But what we saw there, especially in that second half, when Jalen Brunson was beset by foul trouble, Landry Shamet, Delon Wright, and Deuce McBride gave them energy and gave them defense. What I like about guys like Delon Wright, Mark, is that he's 6'5". He's a big guard, has wingspan. He can pick you up from 94 feet. And his skill set is getting into passing lanes, anticipating passes, getting those deflections and those steals. Those are the type of extra plays that, while it might not ring out on the stat sheet, those are the things that can slow down a high-octane Pacer offense and limit or even end those possessions. So you need energy from guys like that.
Yeah, and they held Indiana to 42 points in the second half. And what we saw, CP, is that when you get them into having to run half-court stuff, the majority of it, Indiana looked like, at least for one game, at least for one half last night, looking capable of being efficient offensively.
Yeah, no question about it. And again, that is why those role players who are able to defend, especially when Brunson on the bench, is key. Because Indiana, even in their half-court sets, Mark, they want to run multiple sets until they get the optimal matchups. But the thing is, when you have guys like McBride and Mitchell Robinson's out there and Shamet, like those guys did not give up an inch. And so that was key for them in that stretch. And I thought a big key in this stretch, Mark, was around the 7-minute mark in the fourth quarter when Jalen Brunson leaves the game with that fifth foul and Miles McBride comes in and he's the point guard. That 7-minute stretch, the Knicks had a 1-point lead and he was able to hold it down for 6 minutes until Jalen Brunson came back in with a minute and a half left. That defense by McBride was vital for the Knicks to hold on. And once Brunson comes back in, what does he do? He gives him 4 clutch buckets to help seal the game.
When you look at what Towns was able to do, all the frustration, all the fouls, and some of them, I mean, I just don't understand why Karl-Anthony Towns takes some of the fouls that he takes, right? But, yes. You know, the 20 points in the fourth quarter, you're looking for a Knick moment for Karl-Anthony Towns last night, and he gave it to you.
This was it. This was it. He saved their season in that one game with 20 spectacular points. That fourth quarter, he was just brilliant, aggressive, attacking the rim. He actually got foul calls, which, you know, hasn't been on his side this entire series. But, I mean, the threes that he took was just absolutely fearless and needed at that time because he took that momentum in that game and absolutely took over. You know, the dunk that he, when he dunked on Nebhard and got the foul call, you felt it at that point that the Knicks had a great chance at winning this game. And as I said, man, he truly saved their season. You just want to see some more consistency from Karl-Anthony Towns. Game 2 was a disaster for him where he barely even got in the game in the fourth quarter and in crunch time. So, you know, you have to give him a lot of credit and tip your cap to him. it was really a resilient effort by him and the Knicks.
We're talking to CP, the franchise creator of Knicks Fan TV. You know, CP, you had heard rumblings. Ian Begley from SNY confirmed those rumblings about a lineup change going into Game 3 last night, right, with Robinson in, Hart out, Hart recommending it to the head coach, Tom Thibodeau. Do you expect Thibodeau tomorrow night to roll with the same starting lineup that he had for Game 3?
Yes, I do, Mark. And as I said, coming into this, this series is going to be about how you best protect Brunson and Towns defensively. And the substitution in terms of bringing Hart off the bench is not an indictment on Hart as a player, but the starting five has been woeful, not just in the playoffs, but since January. They just have not been clicking on all cylinders. And so what Tom Thibodeau needed to do was find, number one, a spark in that starting five, but also a way to end those possessions on Indiana, in particular in putting Mitchell Robinson in the game, getting both defensive and offensive rebounds. And in those 28 minutes by Mitchell Robinson, they were a plus 7.2 net rating when he was on the court. And so his minutes were impactful. And guess what? Josh Hart is still going to get his minutes. He still got 34 minutes in this game and was just as impactful in crunch time. So, you know, Tom Thibodeau picked the right guy in terms of Josh Hart to come off the bench. He's a guy who's versatile enough to do it, and he has the leadership and to understand that that is where he's needed. He was a guy, Josh Hart, that preached all year, they cannot have egos on this dance. And so that was a big, big moment for Josh Hart, and I think this lineup will continue as with Mitch Robinson at the five.
CP, what do you think the sweet spot is for minutes for Mitchell?
You know what I didn't like necessarily yesterday in Game 3, Mark, was he almost played the entire first quarter.
Yes.
And you can see that he got
He was exhausted. Bad. He was exhausted.
He was pretty exhausted. And so, you know, I would say around that 25, maybe 30, depending on how you load those minutes. I don't think just, you know, entire quarters is going to be ideal for him. But this is also a series where I think they can afford to give a guy like maybe even a Precious Achiuwa some minutes, 5 minutes here or there. If Indiana is trying to counter with guys like Tony Bradley, who's coming out of the G League, and that's no disrespect to him, but, you know, you have Tony Bradley at the five, you have Obi Toppin at the five, I believe the Knicks can afford to even put Precious Achiuwa in there to give them a little bit of energy, see what he can provide, and that way you can give Mitchell Robinson a spell. If Karl Anthony Towns is in foul trouble, you can give him a spell. So I think Tibbs can go a little bit deeper into the bench, especially when it comes to the front court.
We're talking to CP, the franchise creator of Knicks Fan TV, on this Memorial Day Monday. CP, I want to ask you about the two wings. When you look at Bridges, when you look at Anunoby was efficient last night, you know, in only 9 shots. He scored 16, 4 of 6 from behind the arc. What do you need to see from those two individuals moving forward if the Knicks are able to come all the way back, win this series?
Yeah, just again, continued efficiency. OG Anunoby had struggled in this series, in particular in Game 2, man. Pascal Siakam really took him out to lunch. And so that was a bit disheartening when your best wing defender was absolutely getting cooked by a guy like Siakam, who, listen, is very capable of doing that. He's a 50-point scorer capable of doing that. So OG Anunoby, I thought he had a bounce-back game, in particular in his efficiency, but also he had a key block in that fourth quarter against Aaron Nesmith.
Oh, it was a great block. And I love the physicality with the one-on-one defense as well. It was just awesome.
Yes, and then look, with Bridges, he needs to be a bit more efficient and a bit more aggressive. I didn't think he was taking it to the basket all that strong, in particular in the first half. Finished with 6 of 8 shooting from the field, 15 points. But again, you know, that's on Brunson and maybe even a Towns to help get him in going early. I believe that when they get Bridges going early, he typically tends to have better gains. But his defense on Halliburton and his shooting efficiency is going to help this team win Game 4 and beyond.
CP, you mentioned it earlier. I want to ask him. We talk about it a lot here, and I'm sure you get a ton of questions about it as well, which is when you look at Towns and you will look at with Brunson and you look at how impactful the defense was last night with those guys. Towns was on the court, but it was really the other four with him that were going out there defending. How does Tibbs balance it out, knowing how important those two guys are offensively, but how weak they are defensively?
Yeah, you may have to look at a situation where you may have to stagger the two, because offensively, you're not really getting the ideal two-man game or 1-2 combo that you envisioned, especially in the playoffs. They haven't really been all that great playing off of each other. And then when the two are on the court together, that compounds their defensive ability. And so you may need more situations where you're kind of staggering those guys in between the first and the second quarter and the third and the fourth quarter, where each guy can have their moment in the sun offensively, but then defensively you're a lot stronger because you don't have to worry about playing with three great defenders in 2 weeks. So that may be a strategy for the Knicks going forward, is allowing Karl-Anthony Towns to kind of shine with the second unit or supporting cast opening the fourth, and then you come back to Brunson a little bit midway through to finish the game.
All right. I love seven-game series, especially when you look at the NBA, because it's kind of like a serve and volley, right? We saw the response from Tibbs last night and him going deep into the bench. If you had a guess, CP, what do you think the response is from Carlisle and the Pacers tomorrow night, game four?
I think it's going to be more of the same. I mean, I really liked how they operated in the first half of that game, Moose. They put a lot of pressure on the Knicks. The reason why the Knicks ran into a lot of foul trouble was because when they were switching on the defensive end, the Pacers would attack them. They were attacking Brunson on his switches. When they pulled Mitchell Robinson away from the basket on those switches, they would find guys like Miles Turner on a smaller Nick, and he was able to draw fouls. So I think they're going to continue their same offensive philosophy. What Carlisle did say in that press conference after game three in terms of what happened to the Pacer offense in the second half was, he said the Knicks put better defenders out there.
Yep.
Which I thought was, he's been very honest in those post-game press conferences. So,
look, well, he's not wrong. We all love Brunson. He's great, yeah. Right? He's just, some of the fouls he takes as well. Like, you're saying, when he's leaving his feet, like, he's got to understand, he's got to stay on the court. Like, he's not going to help this team sitting on the bench. And he's not all of a sudden going to turn into Scottie Pippen defensively.
Yes. That's correct. And so, as I said, I think I'd expect the same game plan from the Pacers. And one of the things that has kind of been jumping off the charts, especially statistically, is in game three, their fast break point, 16-2. Those are the things that the Knicks have to be on guard for, those extra possessions where, you know, a long three or a misassignment on the defense, on the offensive end, can lead to the Pacers getting quick offense the other way. So the Knicks have to be on guard for that. And again, it's on Tibbs to find those optimal offense-defense pairings that doesn't leave them so exposed when you have both Brunson and Towns out there on the court.
CP, two more before I let you go. You think the winner of tomorrow night wins this series?
I think so. And I like this Knicks momentum. There was some footage after the game where from leadership on down, Patrick Ewing, Allen Houston, Bert Brunson. I mean, the whole locker room was just jubilant. But look at it this way, Mark. I mean, these games have been very, very close. 1, 2, and 3 have all been won on the margins. This is still a winnable series for the Knicks. Their defense is going to tell the story here. But I truly believe if they can win this game in game four, you get back to a rocking Madison Square Garden and exercise those demons, I still believe the Knicks are in a good shape to win this series. But it all starts with Tuesday night, game four.
Now, I'll ask you the question that you probably nobody has an answer for, CP, but yeah. I'll ask it to you anyway. Why are they so much better on the road than they are at home?
It's so interesting, man. And I've been at a lot of these home games, Mark. So
I know you have. That's why I'm asking. I mean, I'm not blaming you, CP, but I'm just asking you, like, why? Like, they just look, and I understand they were down 20 in the second quarter last night.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know. They just look a lot more comfortable on the road than they do at home.
Yeah. Well, one thing's for sure, and PJ Tucker mentioned this, is that, you know, road crowds and the heckles and the jeers, they don't really get rattled by that. And so they just seem to come together as a team and get more gritty on the road. Now, obviously, their backs were totally against the wall in game three, so they really had no choice there. But for some reason, when they're at home, I don't know if it's they tend to just let their guard down or they just don't have that same fire. But hey, we saw it in game six against the Celtics where they put a complete two-way effort together. And I think they can do that again in game five should they tie this series up. It's just one thing where I think when they see that this thing is very close and the money's on the line, they will end up raising their level of play and taking this thing.
And I think they're going to win tomorrow night, CP. I just got to sneak it. I think they're going to even up this series, which will be an unbelievable game five back at the Garden on Thursday night.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, man. It is nothing like Knicks playoff basketball as we near June.
Yeah.
Great Memorial Day here, beautiful weather here in New York, and a gritty performance by those guys in game three for sure.
Finally, CP, what do you have tomorrow night? Do you have anything going on with Knicks Fan TV?
Yes, yes. So every game we have watch parties. We had a tremendous watch party for game one, actually. We had Baron Davis come in and
nice.
Did a live show. The watch party will be at Slate NY. That's 54 West 21st Street. We'll have the doors open at 6 p.m. I will be in the building. Mark, if you want to come by, man, I got the table, man. You can be my guest. Pull up. We got the big screen stadium-style TV there at Slate.
Oh, I might swing by after I'm done at picks. Yeah, I might swing by. Absolutely, CP.
Give me a call, man. I'll have your name at the door.
VIP
treatment for Mark Melusis, man. I appreciate it.
CP, you're the best, man. Appreciate it. Thanks for cutting out some time for us this afternoon. And love what you're doing with Knicks Fan TV. And we'll get you on again soon, all right?
Always a pleasure, Mark. Thanks for the inspiration, man. And have a great week.
You got it. You as well. CP the franchise. And he's with the Knicks tomorrow night. So am I.